You take your Bibles and let's turn to the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 2. It was written by Martin Luther, "The most acceptable service we can do and show unto God, and which alone He desires of us, is that He be worshipped and praised by us." And then A.W. Tozer also wrote these words. He said, "Jesus was born of a virgin, suffered under Pontius Pilate, died on the cross, and rose from the grave to make worshipers out of rebels." We are to be worshipers of the Lord Jesus Christ, of our King, our Savior, Jesus. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem," verse 2, chapter 2, "saying, Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and are come to worship him." When Herod the king had heard these things, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And when he had gathered all the chief priests and scribes of the people together, he demanded of them where Christ should be born. And they said unto him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for thus it was written by the prophet, And thou, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, art not the least among the princes of Judah, for out of thee shall come a governor that shall rule my people Israel." Then Herod, when he had privately called the wise men, inquired of them diligently what time the star appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go and search diligently for the young child, and when you have found him, bring me word again, that I may come and worship him also." When they had heard the king, they departed, and lo, the star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. When they had opened their treasures, they presented him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. I just want to go back and read one more time. Verse 2. "Where is he that is born King of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and are come to worship him." I want to take that last couple of words, and I want to give you the title of my sermon: Wise Men Worship Jesus. Wise Men Worship Jesus. Ronald Allen and Gordon Borer, they're authors of a book. The book is Rediscovering the Missing Jewel. And they wrote this term concerning the preaching service to describe the Sunday worship service. They said, "Viewing the preacher's singular act of proclamation as significantly more important than the entire congregation's act of adoration and dedication and praise and confession is espousing an expensive heresy which may well be robbing many a church of its spiritual assets." The authors went on to define worship as an active response to God whereby we declare His worth. Worship, they said, comes from an old English word which means to attribute worth to something or to someone. It is to place the highest value on that object or that person. Worship is being preoccupied with God. It is deliberately turning our minds toward divine preoccupation. We must be intentional in worship. It is a service that we perform. There are other authors that ask the question, what has happened to our worship? What has happened to the worship, the proper worship in American church? And to that I would say, there is a right way to worship, there's a real way to worship, and we need to bring that back. We need that to be the focus of every service that we attend. We need Jesus to be exalted and Him to be lifted up. That is why we have come. If we're here for any other reason, that would be secondary to the primary reason of being people who give glory and honor and adoration to God. And I just echo the fact that it's not just to be done by one person or a group, a smaller group of people in a service. It is to be done by us corporately. We come together to express how worthy He is. We ought to be preoccupied with, I like that word, we ought to be preoccupied with our great and awesome God. Amen. We ought to put Him at such high value that nothing else takes His place. In this Christmas story, Matthew's gospel, there's a picture of true worship. There's a picture of real worshipers worshiping rightly. And so there in that context of that scripture that I wrote, we find that there's these wise men, these magi, that are coming from the east. And it says that they have come to worship Him, Jesus. And so I want us to just think about right worship, real worship, for just a few moments, and then we'll be dismissed to go to our homes and to be with our families. So we have these wise men, presumably they have come from the area in around ancient Babylon. We presume that they've come from that same location that Daniel lived in. And perhaps they're a strain of some of the same magi whom Daniel was around and a part of. And they knew about the one who was to come. How did they know that? They understood that it was a king that was to come to a place, and they knew the general location, but they did not know the specific location. They did not know that it would be Bethlehem, or they would have gone there. They did not know what they would find, who they would find. They were seekers looking for this one whom they'd been taught about, perhaps whom they'd read about in Old Testament books like Numbers and Leviticus. And so they came looking for the one who was to hold a scepter and the one who was to be a star, and that a star would be present when He was coming. They found that there was a new star in the sky. They were astrologers. They studied astronomy. And they noticed that there was something different in the night sky. So they came following that star, coming to worship the king whom that star represented, whom it declared. And so those oral, perhaps written communications that have been passed down through generations from Daniel, and that have been passed to Daniel from Moses and David and other writers, found its way to them, and they became preoccupied with the one whom was to be worshipped, the one whom the star represented that was in the night sky. Their worship was not convenient. Their worship would take them far from home, would cost them greatly, would be a laborious task to go and to find this place, to find this king whom they were to worship. But they were led by the Spirit of God, who directed them through not only the Word of God, but through those physical things like the star. And then when they got to Jerusalem, through further revelation by the Word of God, through the scribes and those who were studied in the books of the Bible and the law. And that would further give them direction. They were right worshipers because they were led by the Spirit. For we worship, Jesus said, in spirit and in truth. So they were led by the Spirit of God. And they found the place where Jesus was. I wonder, are we led by the Spirit of God in our worship? Are we led correctly in worship? Is this real worship or something put on? I heard about an expressive woman who wandered into a liturgical service one morning. And as the pastor preached, she became so caught up in the message that she exclaimed, "Praise the Lord!" A fellow attender leaned over and whispered to her, "Excuse me, ma'am, but we don't praise the Lord in the Lutheran church." A man down the pew leaned up and said to him, "Oh, yes, we do. It's on page 19. Real worship is led by the Spirit of God. It's conducted by the presence of God in your heart, in your life. And it's the overflow of the Spirit of God dwelling in you and working through you and always pointing to Jesus Christ, the one and only one, the Son of God, who takes away the sin of the world. That is real worship. It's directed by God. Right worship will find will be purposeful. Right worship will be purposeful. They said to Herod, and I'm sure they said to several people along the way, it's not written down, but I'm sure that they would say, if anyone asked them, "We have come to worship Jesus." We don't know his name, we don't know where he's at, but that we've come to worship this one who's been promised, and evidently he's here. That's who we've come, to worship Him. It's purposeful. They made their journey to Bethlehem for that reason, to worship Jesus. It was very intentional. Now I want to ask us this morning, is our coming to this place this morning with that intention, is it with that purpose? We've come to worship Him. We still have time if it's... That's not the reason we've gathered here. You still have time to get that right. We worship in spirit and in truth. We worship the right way. It's got to be with the right intentions. So take the time, and if you're not already ready to worship Jesus in this service, take the time to say, "Lord, I remember when you saved me. I remember when you called me. I remember how the burden rolled away at Calvary. Lord, I remember how you've led me and how you've loved me all these years. I remember, Lord, how you fill me with your Spirit. You give me sweet peace in my life. I remember, Lord. I remember it's you that's given me direction throughout my life. And I look back over my life and know that every step of the way you were there. Lord, you are the one that has brought me to this place. And I glorify you. I worship you. You're not only the creator of the universe, you sustain the universe, and you have saved me. You have brought me into your family. Lord, I love you. I understand that that my worship should be purposeful, intentional, and I want you to know that you are who I praise. You are why I'm here. And I lift you up. Purposeful. But it also needs to be genuine. Right worship is genuine. If you'll notice in verse 8, this whole text here is about these men coming for this purpose to worship Jesus. And as they're conversing with Herod, it says, and he sent them to Bethlehem after he'd found out where to go. And he said, go and search diligently for the young child. And when you've heard, or when you've found him, bring me word again that I may come and worship him also. I want to worship him too. Their worship was genuine. I mean, it's played out in the story. It's played out in what we see and what we hear from them, as opposed to Herod's pretend worship, which was a lie. You see, the wise men sought the young child Jesus to offer him homage. They wanted to fall down before him and give him reverence and respect and the awe that is due to him. But Herod was seeking Jesus only to do him harm. I wonder sometimes if there aren't some people that we run across in our life, the only reason they want to know more about Jesus is that they can do more harm to him and to those people that are around him. They're not coming with the right attitude, with the right spirit, not genuine in their approach to him. You know, you've had those people that want to raise a subject with you, want to start talking to you, and they may even begin the conversation about spiritual things or religion or church. And it's not too far into that conversation, this is what we realize when we're talking to them. They have no genuine belief in. They have no genuine respect for. They don't love Jesus. They just want to take the other side. They want to put you down. They want to put him down. They want to try to get you to questioning who he is. Folks, don't be influenced by that crowd, by that person who always wants to take the opposing side to the truth. It says that they went on, and with their right motives and with their right worship, they came to him in purity. We'll look on and see that right worship will be joyful. It says in verses 9 and 10, not only were they genuine in their worship, but when they came, they were very glad. Notice what it said. And when they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. The wise men rejoiced when they found Jesus. When they were in the presence of Jesus, it brought great joy to them. Real worship and right worship is a celebration of God. It's a celebration to God. How great is God? How good is God? How gracious is God? How glorious is God? Real worship will get you excited about how good God is. Real worship will get you excited about how great God is. Real worship will get you just overwhelmed, and you will find yourself rejoicing in the presence of God when you understand how gracious God is to us, what he's done for us. When you find yourself in the presence of God and you're there for the right reason and you're intentional about it, you're preoccupied with him, I promise you, when you leave that place, as you're in that place as well, you will have joy, unspeakable and full of glory. You will leave there with a smile on your face, with a step in your walk, and joy in your heart because of who he is and all he's done for you.
I can't imagine how long the journey was. I can't imagine how hard the journey was. I can't imagine what those men went through to get there to Jesus. But when they found him, there was a celebration. Maybe this morning, you've come here looking for Jesus. I don't know your heart. I don't know your state in life. I don't know where you're at in your journey. And maybe you've never been saved yet. You've not come to the cross and laid your burden down and found the grace of God that can forgive your sins and give you eternal life. You may not be there yet, but I promise you, if you've come and you have a hunger to know and you have a desire to understand more and to know who God is and who His Son Jesus is, I promise you, you can find that here today. You can find Jesus here today because He is looking for you. He is seeking you. He is after you. He wants you and His family. He's not willing for you to perish and to go to a devil's hell. He does not want that. He is looking for you. And the reason you have a desire in your heart, you have a hunger in your heart, is because God is drawing you. He is wooing you. He is loving you. It is because of His goodness that leads men to repentance. God is drawing you this morning. And if you're here and you're saved and you're walking with the Lord, the reason why you wanted to be here today, the reason why you anticipated being here and you love this time of the year is because God is in your life. Because God has dealt with you kindly. Because God has saved you from your sins. He has put His Spirit in you. It's because God is teaching you. God is walking with you. And you have that desire to walk with Him. You found peace, and you found joy, you found forgiveness in Him, and that is so sweet. It brings joy into your life. You could have had the worst week. You could have had a flat tire on Monday. You could have burned the chicken on Tuesday. You could have gotten fired on Wednesday. You know what I'm talking about? This could have been your worst week. You know what I'm talking about, don't you? Yeah, this could have been a bad week. But you come into this place because God, looking right up here, God is a good God. Because God is a great God. Because God is a gracious God. Because God's been kind to you. And God has loved you so much that He's brought you into His family. And He has encouraged you. And He's strengthened you. And He's given you life. And He's given you a purpose in this life. And He's given you eternal life. You can come in here and you can have joy unspeakable and full of glory. Amen. Amen. Rejoicing. And I'm glad you guys are talking about it. One of my funnest times to ever preach was in a black church. Why? Because somebody's on the organ, somebody's on the drums, and everybody's talking to you. And whenever you say something they like, there's a crescendo on those instruments. I like it when y'all get involved. That's real worship. When we're preoccupied, we're amazed by, we're understanding our indebtedness to God. And we want to express how much we love Him. That is real worship. Not only is real worship purposeful, not only is real worship or right worship joyful and genuine, but it's humble. They fell down and worshiped Him. Verse 11 says, when they came into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshiped Him. Yeah. They'd already moved into a house there in Bethlehem. They weren't in the stable anymore. You know, our manger scenes may be a little off, but it's okay. They came in there to that house, and Mary was holding that child, and watch this. Those magi, those wise men, with all that pomp and all that ceremony and everything. You know, Herod would not have even recognized who they were if they weren't somebody important. They were very important men. But watch this. They got down on their faces before God, the Lord Jesus Christ, and they worshiped. They gave Him value. Worthship. They were humble. It'd do us good to recognize that in our worship of Him, we see Him in the light of who He is, in the light of who we are. Man, we are blessed people to be able to come into the presence of a holy God. I think we've lost the significance of that, perhaps, the value of that. That at one time, are you still with me this morning? Just say, uh-huh. Eli, say, uh-huh. We've lost the significance of that because there was a time when you couldn't even go close to where God was in that Holy of Holies. And only the high priest to go in there and offer that sacrifice once a year. Only the high priest, after so many different rituals and offerings and only bringing the right kind of blood sacrifice. Oh, it had to be all just right. He wore a rope around his ankle and bells around the bottom of his robe so that if the sound stopped, tinkle, tinkle, tinkle stopped going off, they knew, hey, he's not moving anymore. We might ought to pull him out of there. He's dead. A holy God. And now we get to go in there to that place, the throne room of God, enter into the throne of grace. And find grace and mercy in our time of need. Folks, look right up here. Listen to me. This is a special thing that we have. This is a great opportunity that we have as God's people to come into the very room where God sits. And speak to Him. And worship Him and lift Him to a level that only He deserves. We praise Him as God the Creator, as God the Sustainer, as God the Redeemer, as God who has made us who we are and will one day make all things brand new. God, who's sovereign Lord over all. Nobody tells Him what to do. Nobody gets in His face and says, now you look at here. He is God. And there's none else. None beside Him. None before Him. There'll be none after Him. Any other thing that's called a God is only false. Might have ears, but it cannot hear. Might have a mouth, but it cannot speak. Might have legs, but somebody got to pick it up and carry it and walk it around. It's not God at all. I'm telling you, Satan would like you to think that there's other things out there, other people out there that need to be worshipped like him and other things that would direct attention to him. Let me tell you something. He's been defeated. He was defeated at the cross. Jesus was victorious over death, hell, and the grave. And Satan is under his feet. And he alone is to be worshipped and praised for who he is. We need to humbly bow before him. There's one other thing. There's one other aspect to right worship that I want you to see. Right worship will be sacrificial. Right worship, they opened up their treasures and they presented to him gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I'm not going to take time to get into all the symbolism there. But they brought to him these gifts. And you know what I think? I think it was a lot of gold. Are y'all with me? I think it was a lot of frankincense. They opened unto him from their treasures. These guys, I guess they didn't leave home. They didn't have a safe at home that they could trust, so they just carried it with them. They must not have had a bank they could deposit it in, so they just brought it with them. They opened up their treasures, and they presented him out of their treasures gold, frankincense, and myrrh. You say, Pastor, we're not rich. We don't have gold and costly spices and elements of the earth. But doesn't the God of heaven not deserve all that we have and all that we are? I ask that question to you. Does he not deserve everything that you have and all that you are? Romans chapter 12, verse 1 is talking about presenting yourselves a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. He deserves it all. Let nothing that you own or anything that you have or possess in yourself, your time, your talents, your treasures, let none of that be held to so tightly that God couldn't speak and you would be willing to give. Because it's His already. Worship to God ought to cost us. Worship to God does cost you. One last thought in passing. It says that when they were finished with their worship service to Jesus, that God warned them in a dream that they should not return to Herod, tell him where the Christ child was. So they departed in their country another way. Now, worshiping our God can lead to close and special revelation from God. You know, the people that are closest to God will know the heart of God best. Are y'all still listening to me this morning? The people who are at the foot of Jesus are the ones closest to Jesus. You remember Mary and Martha, don't you? Jesus said, this one thing she has. This one thing. The one thing needful. And that is, she had that closeness, that fellowship, that relationship Martha was missing out on. She was where Jesus was speaking things that only those closest to her, Him, would hear. I'll tell you, these men found that after their worship of Jesus, after their closeness to Jesus, that God had a word for them, which would probably have spared them a lot of pain, a lot of sorrow, a lot of grief. Go home a different way. See, God reveals His plans and the workings of things around those that are closest to Him. You say, Brother Joe, how do you know that? Well, Job 12:22 said, God reveals mysteries from the darkness and brings the deep darkness into light. God can do that. God can reveal to you things that you can't see on your own. Daniel chapter 2 verse 22 says, it is He who reveals the profound and hidden things. He knows what is in the darkness, and the light dwells with Him. There is a God in heaven who reveals mysteries, Daniel said. But Amos chapter 3 verse 7 says it most succinctly, surely the Lord God does nothing unless He reveals His secret counsel to His servants, the prophets. You know, I still believe that God will reveal things from His Word and by His presence, by His Spirit, if you'll just climb up into His lap and listen really close. Things that you need to know, things that I need to understand, God will bring them into light if I'll just listen, if I'll just be close, if I'll be in the presence of God. Then God may open my eyes and open my ears to things that I could not hear. Away from Him. Real worship in spirit, right worship in truth. And that truthful worship is genuine, it's purposeful, it's humble, it will bring joy, and it will be a sacrifice to worship in truth, just like these men worshiped in truth. Do you worship Jesus Christ? I wonder what might need to be changed today so that you can be right and real in worship to God. And what hinders us? What hinders me from giving the Lord what He deserves? What is keeping me from not turning loose of what He deserves? Not what He needs. He doesn't have to have anything that I have, but what He deserves. I read a story about Chuck Swindoll when he was in Okinawa. Stationed there, and the chaplain who was over all those men there on the base was going through some very trying times, according to Chuck Swindoll. And he was close to this man, this chaplain, and sort of a missionary, if you will. And so he knew that there were some things that were going on in his life that was just wringing him out. And so he went by to see him, and his wife said, "He's not here, he's down at the office." It was a rainy night, and so Chuck got on the bus, and he rode the bus down there to a very humble place, down a street, down an alley, to a thatch hut. Very poor place, he said. It wasn't anything special. And he got close. Rain was falling. He began to hear a man singing. And he looked in there. He could look through the wall, he said. And he said, "I saw this man down on his knees. He had a Bible, and he had an old hymnal, and he had a journal. He would read the Bible a little bit, and he would sing a hymn. And he might stop and write something down." He said, "I watched him for quite a while." He said, "No, but he did not know anybody was watching." One of the hymns he would sing after he would read the word was, "Prone to wander, prone to leave the God I love." What's that? What's that song, Miss Dana? Think about it. She's as bad as me. He said there on his knees with that purposeful worship, he said he saw a man who God began to change and revitalize. He said those pressures did not go away. He watched him closely, walked by him closely. He said those pressures did not go away. But the way he responded to the pressures in his life were a reflection from his worship with God. Are y'all listening to this morning? We need worship. We need to be in the presence of an almighty God, lifting and praising His holy name. We need that. He wants and desires that.
He deserves that. But we need it. What has happened to worship at our American churches? May it never be said at First Baptist Church of Salisaw. They've lost it. May it always be said, man, they worship God. They come together. They worship God. That's what they're preoccupied with. Wouldn't that be a blessing? I would like that to be said of me. I've heard from many, many people over the last week that the Christmas cantata was the most worshipful thing. All the things that were said, read, sung, every song lifted up Jesus. I've heard that over and over again. That's what we need. That's what I desire. That's what I want. And I pray when you leave this place this morning, you won't say, man, he hit one out of the park today, because I probably didn't. But I want you to say this: God is God. And He deserves my worship. Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace and goodwill towards men. Let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for the privilege to be able to come into your presence with your people and worship you. That's been my desire today, that we be preoccupied, that our mind and our heart be focused on you. Help us to have real worship and right worship. Would you stand with me? Maybe you need to come get in this altar this morning. Maybe you need to make that chair where you're sitting a time of prayer before God. Maybe you need to be saved today. You come. As we sing together, whatever God's telling you to do, you do it.